Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Rawson, and I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, tonight is a special show that we're hosting because we've been trying to book Max for quite a while now, and we wanted to set up a special show. As you know, we're normally on the first of the month, and we wanted to make sure to get Max on. So we're really excited to be able to schedule this show. To find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Our guest this evening is Max Wellspring, and we'll bring her on in a minute. And Max has been a life coach for 18 years and is best known for her transformational catalyst. In her coaching practice, Max has supported hundreds of clients to transform, uplift, and love their lives through one-on-one sessions, courses, held classes, support groups, seminars, and other activities. We're really excited to have her on this evening. The link for her website is actually up on our site. But if you want to go check her out, you can go to trustyourlife.com. That's trustyourlife.com. And a little bit in the show, we're going to be announcing a special gift that she's going to be giving to anybody who listens to the show or to the replay. And we'll be giving that link out. One of the things that Max does besides her coaching is that she does some work with what we call, I like to call it, I never can tell, we'll ask Max in a second if this is correct or not, but I call it Akashic Records readings, and I think I've heard about 15 different ways of pronouncing that. And we'll be learning a little bit more about that and about the offer and all that great stuff. So, without any further delay, Max, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you on. I kind of shortened your bio quite a bit. Why don't you kind of fill us in a little bit more on your background and everything so that people know, you know, how you got started and how you got to what you're doing today?
Well, I began in the corporate world, actually, many, many moons ago in another incarnation, but I came to a point where it just wasn't serving me. I was working for great people. I really loved them, but I had come to a place where I needed to move into something that was feeding my own soul more, and I found at that point in time I was very synchronistically in a library, or actually in a bookstore next to a library, where I discovered this new field of life coaching. Thomas Leonard, who was considered by some to be the father of coaching, was on a magazine cover. And so it's kind of like it leapt off the counter at me. You know how that happens sometimes where something is really calling to you. And it became my next direction to go, and led to me leveraging my organizing skills from my time in the corporate world to working with the woman who wrote the guidebooks for the Celestine Prophecy, Carol Adrian, and just kind of branched out from there. And I learned that what I really love is to teach and to provide kind of energetic activations for people to really support the information that they were getting for transformation. And what I mean by transformation is not just something where you change your life in some way, because in the human experience, we can change back, you know. But transformation is really a different thing. It really is like the butterfly who goes into the cocoon, liquefies, and comes back together into this whole new form. And that is what I'm interested in. The kind of people who are attracted to the work that I'm doing are usually looking for something to have a huge breakthrough in their life, perhaps around, you know, something that is a frustrating pattern, all the way to really deep core issues that they've been dealing with throughout their lifetime. So I've not only been doing teaching, but and individual sessions with people, but the energetic activations, I started out with EFT and all forms of emotional healing that I could come across. And eventually now, as you mentioned, I moved into adding in probably the most esoteric tools that I've added have happened for me within the last few years. And one of them has been Akashic Record readings. And that's how I pronounce it.
Excellent.
Akasha is actually a Sanskrit word that means the ground of all being. It's that from which, in my understanding anyway, it's that from which everything has emerged in the universe. So the energy is that fine and that rarefied in a sense. So when you're in the records, something amazing is going on, I believe. And just to explain a bit more about that, and I've had the same background in terms of understanding the Akashic Records as you, Mark, because my training was done in alignment with the body of work developed by Linda Howe. She's written 3 books now on the Akashic Records and mm-hmm. has yeah. been studying them for some 25 to 30 years. She's very prolific in terms of her writing and very funny in person. And I've worked now for 3.5 years with her major trainer, her top trainer, who happens to be a good friend of mine and lives nearby. So I've taken tons of training in the Akashic Records because there's a basic reading, but there's so many ways that this can be used. And the records in and of themselves, the way that I hold them is that they are this vast repository of knowledge that has to do with your soul's journey throughout time. So it's very helpful if you're open to the idea that you've had more than just this incarnation. When you enter the records, these are your records. They're not the records for all of humanity. This is your. It's like you are literally stepping into the heart of your soul, and you get that, you know, incredible expanded perspective of your soul, and. You get it from the past lives, this incarnation, and the myriad possible futures that are available to you. And Linda has developed a beautiful protocol that uses a prayer to access the records, and then there's this whole, there are all these wonderful beings to support you in the records, and then there's a closing prayer as well. So she brings it full circle. It's quite lovely, and I've found it to be very transformative, not only for myself, because I actually use the records for myself, but for clients, for groups. It's a wonderful tool.
Hey, Max, a lot of questions for you, but let me do this one by one. Let me go back to the beginning before I hit the question on records. You had said in the beginning that with coaching, you do things with people, which you call activations. Can you kind of expand on that a little bit?
Sure. Well, you know, there's the information that, and from the point of view of the way that I have evolved in my own coaching, and there's different types of coaching out there. But the one that I'm interested in and that has evolved for me is the approach to coaching where you are empowering the person to find their answers. Yes, I have some expertise. I have studied for years a lot of the literature that is out there, both ancient literature as well as the amazing explosion of current literature on expanding consciousness and personal development, all that. It's really kind of a juicy field at this point, you know? So I can share all of that. But basically, at the end of the day, what you're really going to trust is your own knowing. So everything that I'm interested in using in terms of information and also shifting your energy, shifting your perspective to be in alignment with the information that makes sense to you is kind of the game. So, you know, most people, they're looking for, say, a shift in their professional life or something's going on in a personal relationship, either with an intimate, you know, partner, or it could be with friends, family, coworkers, all kinds of things could be going on. Or there's a need to work on financial freedom, or there's, you know, health issues. There's just a myriad of all the stuff that we deal with in the human experience comes up for and is part of the purview for coaching. But in that, what you want to, you know, what we do in our culture is, and when the way we've been trained is, we think we have to take action, do, in order to have what we want, and then we'll allow ourselves to be. But we know now, and a lot of people have written about this, is that it actually, you want to turn it on its ear. You want to really come from the inside out. You want to figure out how you are being toward the way you are approaching your life, toward the way you might be approaching a challenge or, you know, a pattern that you want to shift. And then you want to change how you think about that, how your energy is aligned with that. So that's what I mean about energy activations. And then from there, you do need to take action, but you take that action in an inspired way, based on the way that you want to be, and then you get to, you know, you get to have what you have envisioned or better usually, and this is what I know to be true for my own experience and for that of my clients. It can be really kind of a miraculous sort of thing. Yeah. So is that helpful,
yeah.
Mark?
Yes.
You know,
yes, it
so
is. Thank you.
The energy activations usually work with shifting patterns. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with emotional freedom technique, tapping techniques. There's tapas acupressure technique. There are all kinds of cognitive exercises that you can do to change your story. I love Byron Katie's work, for instance, which she calls the work. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to approach changing your perspective and your way of feeling, your emotional alignment, so that you can really move forward, yeah? Because otherwise you can be thinking about something that, oh, yeah, that would be good, so you want to put your foot on the gas, but the underlying emotions that sometimes go very deep is like having your foot on the brake. And that's not original with me. That actually is something that I learned from, for those of you who are familiar with the Abraham material, Esther Hicks and the Abraham material. That's one of the things they used to talk about a lot.
So, you know, thank you for that. The next question I had was related to the records. And,
yeah.
You know, we had talked about how you originally started with Linda Howe and doing the work with her. And I was just wondering, what has changed for you as far as the process and you accessing records when you do work with people? Or is it basically, you know, yes, you're more connected because you've been doing it for so long. But I was just wondering, are you still using some of Linda's techniques or have you kind of moved to a different level?
Well, you know, most coaches, and you probably interview a lot of coaches, I would say the profile for most coaches is we're lifelong learners, yeah? And in terms of Linda's work, I actually was trained this way by the person who trained me, that you always, especially with the protocol for accessing the records, I'm very loyal to Linda's process because it works for me. And I also want to honor her work. You know, I always tell people that that's where I learned how to access the records. And actually, when I first started about 4 years ago, yes, there were people doing Akashic records, but not like they are now. I mean, there's a ton of different ways to access the records now, and I, you know, no value judgment on any other way. It's just that this works very well for me. So in that sense, I'm still honoring her process. At the same time, I am, and based on the fact that I feel I've got such a strong foundation in it, I am now blending some things. Like when I'm in the records, if I feel like I'm being prompted by the support in the records to share something from my coaching expertise, I will. But I always tell people, okay, this is me, this is from me, and the records are asking me to share this with you and see if it resonates. The other thing I'm starting to do lately is I'm very interested in James Wanless's Voyager Tarot deck. Are you familiar with it, Mark?
You know, I'm not.
Okay, well, Tarot has an ancient history. They think maybe it even goes back to Egyptian times and maybe even earlier than that. But it's mostly what we have surviving from earlier centuries is from the Middle Ages. Well, James Wanless is, you know, he's a contemporary, and he actually developed this deck that is has collage imagery on the front of it versus more traditional, like the Rider-Waite Tarot deck. And the collage is so, the collages are beautiful. The infrastructure of the Tarot deck is there. There's a kind of major arcana with these archetypal, I don't know what you would call them, archetypal images of the priestess and the hermit and all of those that are part of the Tarot deck, but they really embody archetypal energies. And then you have the minor cards, suits, that are linked to the majors, but take us into other kinds of emotions. And then there are something he calls the family suit, which is very similar to like the knight, queen, and princess, and I can't remember what else, the king in the regular tarot. Anyway, it's this beautiful deck with these gorgeous collage imagery out of which you could almost read the cards just by looking at the imagery. So I've had a lot of fun using this particular very contemporary tarot deck in the records. For instance, what I've been doing recently is doing, and this is great for like a birthday reading. If people, if they just had a birthday, it goes into your astrological card because there is a card that relates to all the astrological signs. And then your numerological card, and there's a formula for figuring out what is your number card. And then your personal year card changes with every year. So there are at least three life cards that you have. And I go into the records and read that for them. And there really is a distinction between doing it inside the records and outside the records, which is actually the distinction I find with being in the records versus just straight up coaching. And that is that there's something, some other kind of refined information that seems to come from the records that is beyond what I would even know how to say in this kind of conscious mind, like you and I are having a conversation. Does that make mm-hmm. sense, Mark, what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it does, and it actually leads into my next question, so thank you. And that is, you know, what is the difference between getting a records reading or simply getting, like, an oracle reading or talking to a psychic?
Okay. Well, this, first of all, the records, at least from my understanding, are not they're not. I'm not a psychic, it's not a psychic reading, and the records are actually not. They're not predictive like oracles. You know, they're working from such a big picture point of view. Sometimes it's very difficult to get them to kind of pinpoint when something might unfold. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
I mean, it's just not the way they work. One of the reasons I was attracted to the records is their whole gig, the support you get from the records is about empowerment, at least the way I've learned it from, Linda Howe's approach to it. And therefore, for me, it's a beautiful complement to my own coaching training, because that's my whole approach to coaching as well, is to empower, yes? But
yeah.
The kinds of it, because it's coming from when you're reading for somebody as the practitioner, my experience is that I'm really... It's more like being an intuitive guide, and I try to be very careful about saying that this is what the records are saying now. And I'm often surprised what comes out of my mouth. In fact, I record all my sessions because I really don't remember that much afterwards. It's not like I'm asleep. You know, I'm not an Edgar Cayce, who actually had a different experience. I think he... As he said, he felt he was accessing the Akashic Records for what he did. But, you know, he was really almost like a medical intuitive for many people, that kind of thing. And he did do predictive kinds of things. That's not how it works for me. But there is some way in which the intuitive information that comes through is riding on an energy that is not mine, yeah? And it really is. In the records, it's energy first, information second.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's very, the interaction there is very relaxed. You know, I'm always asking the records themselves often have questions for the person getting the reading. And so it's like this back and forth conversation. It's very relaxed, very easy in the records. So I hope I answered your question. I know.
Oh, yes, you did. Yeah. So with that, as we start to head towards our commercial break, let's go ahead and talk about the special offer that's going to be made available for the people who are listening right now and for anybody who listens to the replays. So what is that website link again?
Yes, it is www.trustyourlife.com. /special gift. So special gift all strung together. So it's my website, www.trustyourlife.com /special special gift.
Okay. And
what
is
it
that
is,
basically?
And it's actually a special offer. Normally an Akashic reading I think it's at 125 now, and so I'm offering it to your listeners for $99. And
wow.
I'm offering it, so it's a $25 savings, and it's a 1-hour Akashic Records reading. I usually ask people to schedule, it's actually about an hour and 15 minutes, because I want to have any spillover time built into it. And the idea that I had for this is that the summer is coming to a close now. You know, fall season is just around the corner. And this is a time traditionally for harvest. So if there's anything you still want to have come to fruition by the end of this year, this is a good time for that, you know, to confirm your life purpose, get guidance about relationships, your financial flow, your health goals, all the kinds of things we've already been talking about quite a bit here.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, for someone who's interested in doing that, But their only experience in life so far is basically to call up and get like oracle readings or something over the phone. What is the intention or the question or something that they should have ready when they're ready to do that work with you? Or is it just basically they don't go in with anything, you just go into the records and you just give them whatever information it is they need to hear?
Well, for a first-time reading, it's probably good to at least have one major focus for this. And sometimes, you know, human nature being what it is, people will have, oh, yeah, well, I have this one thing and I have two or three others. But what I've found is if we go with the thing that really lights up for them, even if they have two or three objectives, then it's like pulling on a tangled ball of yarn. Yes, you pull that thread, and what I have found about the records is that it has this beautiful way of pulling on the one major thread and weaving in at least some aspect of maybe the two or three other questions the person might have. Does that make sense? So,
mm-hmm.
For instance, they might have something about their career, And there's also a personal relationship issue, and somehow they do come together in the reading. I always love that kind of spiritual economy that the record seems to find, that sweet spot of you know, the tapestry of the response to someone. And you know, there are times people have come to a reading with, I don't know what I want to do, but the records provides it.
Excellent. I'm going to go ahead and give out the phone number for anybody who wants to call in and ask questions about what are the records, you know, maybe some questions about coaching, and just we'll keep it really light tonight. But if you want to call in, you can call 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. And let me go ahead and just give out we'll do the little quick little commercial. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. We were hoping to have Pam back from Europe. As you know, she usually co-hosts the show with me. She should be back in September, so we'll be excited to have her back on the air with us. And as I always say, if you want to find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And that phone number again, in case you missed it, was 646-716-9663. Well, thank you, Max, for being on the air this evening. We've been really excited to have you on. And I think at this point, I want to start talking a little bit about the coaching piece. And I'll start with a real simple question. And it's, you know, we were talking about it a little bit earlier about transformation. So what do you mean by transformational catalyst as far as coaching?
Well, I think what I most mean about that is that I'm a kind of facilitator for an alchemical process, you know, a synthesis that is a holistic balance and blending of what I would most like to see for anybody working with me, which is vitality, a sense of health and well-being for the mind, for the body, for the emotions, for the spirit. And so in that sense, we're working on breakthroughs, as I was talking about earlier, inspiration. Maybe somebody's looking for comfort, confirmation, confidence, insights, you know, a shift in their life. And then it results in that when, as I was saying before, in terms of transformation, at the end of the process, which sometimes can happen, you know, in a quantum leap, but usually it takes a little longer than that, especially if you're dealing with some deep patterns or something that is a deep core issue. But at the end of it, you should feel as if something about yourself has shifted permanently. You're not the same person that you were. And, you know, I've had a lifetime of looking back where I really know that I have deeply shifted around things that beliefs and ways of being that are very different from, you know, how I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You know, that's what we want. We want that ongoing progression of feeling like we're evolving.
Mm-hmm.
It does require getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I always like Tony Robbins saying, where he says the amount of transformation you can go through is based on how much discomfort you can handle.
Right, exactly. But you know, what you're asking for in a coaching relationship is that you're creating a partnership where there is some level of safety in how you go about this, you know, so that it's a container that provides some peace of mind, because you know, life is messy. You know, the human condition, that's the way it is. And you can get to a place where you trust yourself and you trust life enough to at least feel like you have a bit of a roadmap for navigating what life serves up. And that's what, you know, that's kind of really my whole gig.
Now, I noticed also that you do business coaching. So it's not that you specifically do just individual coaching. So what kind of business coaching do you do and stuff like that for the people out there who need that type of coaching?
Well, I would say I have worked with businesses where I work with both the CEO and their the people who are her employees, their coworkers. Usually, when I've had the opportunity to do that, from the top down, there is an openness to working with the principals that I work with, whether it's an individual or it's business, you know. I would say, in that sense, I'm still working with people. When I get hired for a business, I'm working on their inside out process, so that then they can take the best and make the best business decisions. But I'm not, you know, I wouldn't label myself as a true business coach in terms of marketing, that kind of thing. When you've got the right mindset, then you're going to implement what your choices are, how your decisions are, in a way that is honorable and in integrity. And, you know, and there's room for that kind of coaching in business, as well as the infrastructure part of it that is also very necessary, you know. It's just complementary
yeah.
to it.
So when you, when you're coaching somebody, going back to talking about personal coaching, how do you work with somebody where, you know, they kind of say, well, I'm seeing these kind of roadblocks in my life, but I have no idea what the root cause is, or the smoking gun, as they would call it.
Yeah. Well, usually they know what it is on the surface, right? So say there is some way in which they are not communicating well with somebody in their life. And they're often saying, well, you know, and this could be at work, this could be at home, this could be with a friend, you know, this person is doing this, that, or the other. And what I'm usually going to ask people to do is look at what it is that you're projecting out onto the other person and start to deal with your side of it. From that place, then you can begin to have a deeper understanding. And you take care of your side of the road. That doesn't mean that down the road you might not you might still have to have some kind of conflict resolution. you know, with that person. Yeah. Or maybe it's a situation where you you just feel that somehow, you know, you don't have enough power, and you're looking for the outside solution for that. The truth is, you need to empower yourself. You need to discover where your power lies within yourself. So just a couple of examples, you know. And it can often be the clue to where this lies can be in actually comes from the way in which you are angry or upset or whatever. That's why what we are labeling as a problem really becomes our doorway for the solution ultimately. You want to make that problem your ally in the way that I'm describing. Yes, you want to turn towards it. Just trying to fix it, put a Band-Aid over it, in my experience, doesn't work.
Thank you for that. I know when we talk about coaching and everything, trust is a key aspect of that. Can you tell me how you focus on trust in your coaching practice?
Yeah, well, you know, it's, as you can tell from my website, I kind of landed on this was the thing I really wanted to focus on with people, because I found over time, and this was from years of working with people, that trust in yourself, trust in your own abilities, trust in your relationship to others, trust in the universe, that the universe had your back, this was the river that ran through it all. So, and I developed a way of working with people who really want to look at this, you know, as a bigger journey to, as I said, to have a roadmap for understanding how to go forward with more of a sense of lightness of being and really enjoying their journey more, is that first you needed to learn how to trust yourself. So self-care is like priority number one in my book. If you're not taking care of yourself, and that this is the no-brainer stuff about, you know, eating well, having more time in nature, downtime, getting your body moving, all those kinds of things are incredibly important. Having friends that you really trust and can and a deep support system of all kinds, not just friends, you know, to support you. That kind of self-care is so important because you're not going to have the bandwidth to move through the challenges when they arrive otherwise. And it also doesn't face into the biggie, which is the not enough game that most of us play in this culture. You know, I'm not smart enough, I'm not wise enough, I'm not thin enough, I'm not enough in some way. Yes? So
yeah.
Really, really facing into that. And also learning how to align with that whole thing. And we've said this for years now, you know, how to go with the flow. Well, what does that really mean? It means that we have an entire culture that is built on push to make things happen. And honestly, I, as important as I think action is, I think it works better if you're being pulled towards your vision, towards your goal, towards what it is you intend, versus trying to push to make it happen.
You know, I had another question here, but I wasn't quite sure how it, I think you probably already touched on it, is how do you regain a measure of trust? And I think you kind of touched on some of that already.
Yeah, I have been, but, you know, when life throws you a curveball, there's some wonderful ways to begin to shift that. And we have been talking about a lot of ways to work with that. But one of the ones that I think is pretty amazing is actually one that Marcus Aurelius, you know, an ancient Roman emperor, came up with. And this is a guy who had everything, right? You know, he was yeah, king of the yeah. world at the time. But he said that the one of the most profound questions that could be life-changing that you could ask of yourself is, what would make me feel most alive today? Mm-hmm. And in the face of a challenge, the thing that I've sort of added on to that is, you know, in terms of any choices or any decisions I make around this, what would make me feel most free? Yes? What would mm-hmm. make me feel most free, most alive? When you're living inside of that kind of question, you're going to be really trying to align with what has peace of mind for you. What are the ways you're saying yes to life versus focusing on what's not working? It starts to really shift the energy around that, yes?
Yes. I know, and this is probably a very common idea that we can talk about because it comes up so often in coaching, and that is the you know, people who have the fear of change. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, this comes down to your story. You know, in the human experience, all we have is our stories, right? You know,
yes,
we
right?
make up stories and we kind of judge life from the moment we get up. You know, this is a good day or this is going to be a really busy day or, you know, I like you, I don't like you, this is scary, this is not scary. And what we want to learn is a way to knowing that we do have these stories. So this is kind of a paradoxical thing about the human experience, that one of the most valuable things you can learn is to begin to unhook from the story and get some perspective on it. That way you can begin to shift the story, yes? It's really, I mentioned Byron Katie before, this is what she has built her body of work around. And her first question is, when you're telling yourself, or this is a quote from her, when you're telling yourself a scary story and you're having a nightmare, you might want to wake yourself up. And her first question in the work is, you know, if you're really scared by something that's going on, to ask yourself, is that true? Is it really true? And how does it make me feel to believe that this is true? We can't often control what happens in life, but we can become very skillful, very adept at responding to life versus reacting. This is straight up coaching stuff, yeah? And though you want to honor your feelings, you don't want to sweep them under the carpet. That's why there are these modalities to help you really claim your feelings, honor your sadness, honor your anger, use your anger in a very, you know, productive way. But then you want to, from having shifted and understanding your story, then you learn to become a chooser. You're not the victim. You're not at the whim of a story that, you know, out of which you may have no control. Because often in the human condition, there are so many players in a situation, you can't control all of that, you know, but you can choose your own response to it. And the more you practice this, the more you get, you do find your sense of empowerment through it all. You begin to trust yourself more. You align with your unique gifts and talents in order to make your decisions. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it kind of brings up an example I wanted to kind of go over with you, and that is if you're in a partnership with somebody and you're trying to explain why you're dealing with something in a certain way, so what you're doing is you're giving a little bit of your life story to kind of give some history that that person might not know about. But the story comes out and it almost comes out as being played like a victim. And I'm just wondering, how do you come across with sharing a life experience without coming off and playing the victim role?
Well, I think you claim it. You claim, for instance, in terms of really what I think of as very conscious conflict resolution as well. So this relates to this way of talking about something, you know, which very much might look like you were the victim of things. And in the, we know things happen to people that were not perpetrated by you, yes? But you claim your experience. This is what I experienced. It can be very real. It can be very raw. But you're not projecting it out anymore. And that's not to condone what happens, you know, from other people. And the whole forgiveness thing is, I mean, we could do a whole show on that, you know, the value of it, but how it works in a way where you're not trying to paint pink paint over this, you know. But this is that kind of, telling that story with that kind of responsibility, so teasing that word apart, Mark, you know, it's just your ability to respond by owning the experience that you had really puts you in a place of empowerment, even though you might have been the quote-unquote victim of something quite horrific, because it happens. In the, you know, we know it happens to people. And you want to be honoring of your own feelings around this, but not projecting it out, and in a place of wanting to find a way to wholeness again, you know, or at least your understanding of that. My feeling is that people are whole, complete, just as they are, no matter what they've been through. It's just a matter of sometimes doing, in terms of shamanic terminology, you know, kind of doing that soul retrieval work where you call yourself back home to yourself. I know this is more than what you asked, but, you know, and actually that's some work that can be done. The Akashic Records is a great place to do that kind of work, where you're reclaiming things that might even be a lineage pattern. Sometimes we're reliving patterns that have happened, you know, in our family going way, way back, and suddenly it shows up in your incarnation again. And when you heal it for yourself, you heal it in all directions of time, the past and any future lives. That's how I think it works. It's very powerful. It's how you heal yourself and the world.
Wow, that is powerful. You know, I'm trying to think how to word this. I want to just say, is there four blocks that would keep somebody from having a good coaching session? Or maybe I should spin it the other way and say, are there four things that an individual should have in their mindset to have a successful coaching session?
Yeah, I don't know if there are four. I know that that in terms of somebody being coachable, they have to want this for themselves, not being led to it, you know, by somebody else. This has to be something that they're really open to exploring for themselves. And there has to be a willingness to the best of your ability, show up and tell the truth about what is going on for you, to be open to outcome. And let go of outcome. And it does require a showing up. I've had people, not so much now, but when I was first starting, there were people who were interested in doing this. But when push came to shove, it just wasn't right timing for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that makes a lot
of sense. And what has happened is that whatever I'm putting out there in terms of being an attractive force for the kinds of clients I want, I really don't experience that so much anymore, because usually people, by the time they're interested in working with me, they are committed to having at least some experience to move toward the realization of themselves, the way that I often see them in the records, which is just magnificent. You know, at the end of the day, I think for most, even straight-up coaching or in the records, mostly I'm just wanting to tell people how amazing they are. You know?
Excellent.
But that's the truth of it.
Let's go back and give out that website link for people to get that special offer that's available for anybody who's listening to the show. What is that website link again?
Yes, it is www.trustyourlife.com/special gift, all strung together, special gift.
Excellent. I know before the show you were talking about you conducting a workshop and everything. Is there anything you'd like to talk to the listeners about as far as anything coming up this year?
I am going to be I have plans now. I just completed last week a pilot program where we were playing. It was really... In fact, the objective, it was like a summer camp, you know, where we were playing with dreams. We were playing with the Voyager Tarot deck that I was talking about. We were playing with the Akashic Records with the idea in mind of developing a deep trust of the way the universe wants to send us guidance in all kinds of forms. Einstein said that one of the most powerful questions you could ask yourself is, do I trust that I live in a friendly universe or not? It's at the heart of an abiding faith. And so I'm probably going to do some kind of course that kind of expands on what we were doing this summer. And I imagine I will teach it in October. So if you go to my site for the special offer, and the special offer is not something you want to do right now, at least sign up for my e-zine and for my newsletter, and you will be notified about anything I might be offering either in the fall or going into the new year as well.
Excellent. I think I'll have you close off in a minute or two with just some general inspiration or message to everybody who's listening. But before I do that, I like to always ask the common question I've asked hundreds of guests, and that is, what is the biggest lesson in life that you've learned so far?
I think my biggest lesson is to embrace it all. You know, to trust that everything is working for the good. And that's just not a nice concept. That is really something that I've learned to embrace, to live with, to explore by living by synchronicity. You know, life becomes magical that way when you're really embracing it all and you're not, you know, judging so much, well, this is good or I don't like that. You know, it's really more an openness. So that's my major thing. And it really feeds into what I'm doing now, you know, for my work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you said that with a lot of the coaching and everything that you do, that, you know, one of the messages or something that seems to come through is just how powerful and incredible people are. So in closing, before we end the show, why don't you go ahead and just kind of give a general message out to everybody as far as some stuff that you want people to have in their hearts?
Yeah. Well, let me give you four questions you could ask of yourself every day, besides the one of, you know, that I mentioned earlier, what would make me feel most alive today. These are questions you could ask yourself at the end of the day to really prove to yourself the good that flows through life. And the first one is, what made me happy today? The second one is, what brought me deep peace and comfort? The third one is, what inspired me today? And the fourth one is, what can I be grateful for that is already working? Four questions from my great mentor, Angelus Arian. I love these questions. And really, at the time that I was working with these for almost a year, my life changed dramatically.
That is beautiful. Well, Max, it's been great having you on the air, and I thank you for the great interview. And with that, I will say good night.
Well, thank you, Mark. It was delightful. I love being here with you and with your listeners as well.
All right. Thank you. Hey, everybody. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find out more about us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Good night, everybody.